Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles and going back to that sweet, sweet, precious letter there, Philippians. And I believe the Lord gave us a sweet time last week in that introduction. I am encouraged some of the things He was bringing out to my heart. And I pray that, again, that we just hold these things dear and that we encourage one another the much the more, truly, as we see the day approaching. And as our sister just prayed, to truly long for You, Lord, to give us that desire, not to get out of here. That's easy. But what's even more incredible is that I want to be with You. Praise God. You already told me You want to be with me, and that I'll never understand, except Your grace. But I thank God that He's encouraged my heart. I want to be with Him. Praise His name. All right, so we'll open our Bibles. We're in Philippians. And let's, without delay, get started, and we'll read this first verse, the first chapter. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. That begins here with Paul and Timotheus. And even the names of these two are just so precious, how God, again, in His infinite detail, not just knows what He's doing, it's just exceeding abundantly to everything about Him. But the name Paul means little, and the name Timotheus means to honor God. And you think, even in their order here, how fitting. Because we'll never honor God until we become little. As John 3:3 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. And then you think of the diversity in these two testimonies of these two brothers. Paul, the chief of sinners. Most of his life unsaved. Complete rebellion against the blood of the Lamb. I mean, let's just say it what it is. This man was out there slaying Christians. He was pulling people out of their homes that had anything to do with Jesus. And yet, here we have on the other side here, he's joined with a young man who's known Christ as his Savior from a youth. Maybe grew up like many here that never even necessarily remember when you asked the Lord into your heart. You just always knew Jesus while you were growing up. But then, in that as well, too, the faith in the grandmother and the faith in the mother of Timothy that is flowing out of this brother's life. And then it goes on here a little bit more. Paul, a Jew and a Pharisee at that, is the way that he grew up. And then yet you had the home life of Timothy. Praise the Lord, he had that sweet mama that loved the Lord. But as you find out about her background, she's a Jew. And yet his daddy, a Gentile. And we know later on that Paul took Timothy and had to circumcise him to take him with him, in a sense that he felt that that was something that was needful, that the Lord had encouraged his heart so he could testify freely amongst the Jews. And it was so wonderful there that you saw such diversity in these two. And how about that one is old and the other is young? Amen? See, I believe that God is so bringing forth to us, to the church here, these Philippians, that God is no respecter of persons. And God is no respecter of persons, especially when we're talking about winning His best. We are never too old to begin, and we're never too young to start. The urgency is always yield now. The urgency is always go now. And the calling of love is always be ready now. Praise the Lord. We know that the wife hath made herself ready. She's ready. She's a readied wife. And praise the Lord, this is the call to all of us, brothers and sisters. You think of how the love of God transcends the love of God. There's no respecter of person. How the love of God, I would that all men be saved. How wonderful. How awesome to think that again, this God is so absolutely, completely loving because God is love. And then it even gets a little bit sweeter as we get into this first verse. Most all of Paul's other letters, brothers and sisters, Paul gives his authority as he's beginning these letters. He says usually, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful. But he always is giving out that authority that the grace of God encourages him to give as he's bringing forth the doctrine. But here it's very different. He's just a bondservant of love. And I know it says servant there, but it's even more perfectly stated. He is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. That truly is a prisoner. And it really brings out great meaning of why this is the joy book of the Bible. Over in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And what the encouragement here is when we finally get our eyes off of ourselves, oh my, what the love of God can do in our lives. And it is amazing, and we all know that by God's grace, how good it is to truly not think about yourself. Amen? Amen. And it is such a truth, and it is such a rest to the people of God when the divine agape love comes to rest in us, and we truly live the theme and the calling of the book of Ephesians of us in Christ. Us. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful that we see such an individual dealing that we'll see here in Philippians. But praise the Lord, we're talking about the body of Christ and the body from within the body that will marry Jesus Christ and how loving and altogether lovely they are. Isn't it amazing? And to think that that's the love that comes forth out of our lives, that it wasn't there. It was the love of God, and it was the love of God building in our lives. That truly we come to hear the word of God. We come for ourselves. But aren't we thankful for the testimony that comes through each and every life here? And I hope you know this, and this is not to flatter you one bit. It's just the grace of God in you and working in you. And what a testimony. You do not know who's taking note of you. And praise God, that life that's in you is ready to give every man an answer. And oftentimes, that answer is just in worshiping the Lord. It doesn't even have to be something that's audible. It's something in deed and in truth. It's so wonderful. It's so awesome. And praise the Lord, I hope that, again, understand who we are in Christ and how precious we are to Christ because of the treasure in earthen vessel. We know that. It's got to be the treasure. We know that. But that is the testimony of the love of God and how important we are to God and how important we are to one another. But this truly becomes a love in us, brothers and sisters, that we really live a life of till we all come. Amen? Amen. I'm concerned. I'm concerned by God's grace, not just because I'm a pastor, but I'm concerned by God's grace about your state. I am. And I hope you're concerned about mine. And I'm talking about not that you're trying to meddle there, not that you're trying to be condescending in any way, but that you want me to win God's best. That's a concern. It's a great concern. Praise the Lord. We trust the Lord for it. We know that it's His workmanship, but praise be to God that we would be willing and yielded vessels for that perfect work to be done in our lives. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the love that this letter is bringing out so truly of Paul's heart. And we are following Paul as he followed Christ. And the love of the body of Christ and that his sincere desire, as we rejoiced in back on Sunday, if you remember that verse in 2 Timothy 2:10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." That is the bride's heart. That is the readied wife's heart. That we all would come to that salvation with eternal glory. And that is possessing a heart as Paul, and as I mentioned just a moment ago, that we would follow him as he followed Christ. Perfect love. The love for all the saints. And God help us, because that is the love, that's the Philadelphia love, the brotherly love that is, it's not a requirement, it's an evidence. See, if I think of it as something that's required, like a checklist, I don't have that. My goodness, you know, you think about marrying somebody. Okay, well, I got my checklist out here. Let me see. You got that? You got this? Okay, we're good. No, you wouldn't do that. We know that that wouldn't be of the heart. It just happens. You just love. You can't really explain it. It's just there. But how much more so when we're talking about the very love of God and the grace of God and what He has put in our hearts and our lives to love Him. But then you continue on in this maybe a little bit more perfect translation. You look at that word that says, or the words that say, which are at Philippi. See, this is really says here to all the saints which are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. And this really sets a benchmark here to whom he is speaking to, the saints which are in Philippi. Now remember this, word Philippi the Philippians, it means lover of the race. So these saints in Philippi are the ones that are the lovers of the race. And this doesn't mean merely dwelling in a place that are at Philippi, it's in Philippi. This is about a state of heart, brothers and sisters. That's why it's speaking to us today, is that praise be to God, these are the hearts that are the lovers of the race, the hearts that love His appearing. Now, this precious church, it's very evident. They love Paul's gospel. They do. They love Paul's gospel. They want to hear this truth. They're fully purposed. They love to run to win. And this letter may encourage, like none other, the value and the joy and rejoicing of pressing in that run. We're going to read later on, if by any means. What do you think of that? Huh? Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm talking to people throughout the day. And my heart's breaking because there's the love of many that are waxing cold. There's ones that are coming up against giants and they're focusing on the giant. I was so grateful to hear from my dear friend Sean. It encouraged my heart this week. And he said, oh, I've been studying David. And he says, isn't it wonderful that he didn't focus on Goliath? He said, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? And I heard my dear, dear friend and my brother in the Lord, you know, speaking of that and rejoicing and how he'd been in fellowship with this brother and encouraging him in it. And he said at the end too, he said, I want you to know what the Lord's been bringing through you about David has encouraged my heart so. And I've just been rejoicing. I said, wasn't it wonderful when he comes into that troop, David, as he's coming down there, he's shouting and he's excited. Oh, there's a big trial in front of you guys. This is so awesome. God's going to show himself so mighty. Now, Jesus Christ has never changed. See, I don't want to be long faced. I want to, by God's grace, know that I hurt for you. But God encouraged us greatly that, man, you got a trial. You got a trial. Yeah, there's sorrow in it. There could be some fear. But God's going to show himself faithful. That's just the way he does it. We've got page after page after verse of that's just how God does it. See, it's not going to be by sight. It's not going to be by might. It's going to be by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. So how sweet. How sweet. But this is a precious church that love Paul's gospel. Fully purposed. And they're sweet. And this sweet letter is an encouragement to them of the value and joy to press on. Counting it all loss, we'll read about. And then what we'll read about as well too, to hit the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Aren't we thankful that he lays it out like that? See, the gospel is simple. There is such simplicity in the gospel. The line upon line and line upon line is clear. It's clear to the light. It's so sincere you can't even imagine. Amen? Amen. But that's the way God is. He wants us to have this. He wants us to come into this. This is his desire, his full plan and purpose, and he's given us the provision to go into this fully with his grace. So here's what I guess the question is, are we included here? by God's grace, is he speaking to us here? Well, brothers and sisters, are you in Philippi? In that state by God's grace? Well, I'll tell you something. I don't believe we would come to a meeting like this to hear this word if we weren't dwelling in Philippi. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. So, he's very gracious, and he's even so sweetly gracious, again, down to the detail, how he encourages Paul. See, Paul just doesn't pass up things. And Paul could have been that way, because you think of how God made him and called him to be that chosen vessel. And sometimes when that happens with people, they get heady about it, don't they? They get high-minded. Paul got lower and lower and lower, and that's how he got closer to God. That's how, by God's grace, I mean, he could finally say at the end, I am ready to be offered. I'm ready. I'm finished, because he finished me. I'm fully ready to be offered. Hallelujah. The time of my departure, it's at hand. I love that. But here's Brother Paul, and he could have been, in a sense, many times in his life, high-minded about who he was, whether the chief of the Pharisee, all of this kind of stuff. But here he is, so graciously, as he says there at the end of this first verse, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Isn't that just amazing? See, he appreciates their stand, doesn't he? He really does. See, he knows the hardship. He knows the battle. See, oftentimes, brothers and sisters, when God appoints someone to take a place, whether it's a teacher or someone that is more pronounced maybe in the body of the ministry, okay? We know that God's going to allow that to be tried. The enemy wants to get at it if God shows him, and God's going to show him. Because why? Because God's going to show himself faithful. That's why you have trials. It's not to steam you down. It's not to make you, think that you're such a great failure. No. Sometimes it has to take that. But it's to show himself faithful. Absolutely, 100% of the time, that he loves you. And that through that sweet Jesus, we can do all things because he strengthens us. Praise God. There isn't anything that we come up against that wasn't before ordained. I know he is able. I know he is faithful. And praise the Lord, this is what this is bringing this into, is he remembers these deacons and he remembers these bishops. And he commends them. And he's commending them to stand and to withstand. And having done all, you keep standing, brothers and sisters. And then one more sweet note here regarding Philippi. Remember that it's an ungodly place. Remember when we talked last week about Lydia? How she had to even go out of the city to go down to pray. There was a lot of animosity. There was a lot of hate going on there. People were hostile towards anything about Jesus Christ. Paul received many stripes here at Philippi. But ain't it grand? It's not about the surroundings. Do you hear me? It's not about the surroundings, brothers and sisters. It's really not. See, he's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. And I love how some will come up against Christians and Christianity. And I've had people try to, you feel sorry for them, you do. Because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're mocking God, and it's a very scary place to be. Very is. Very, very much so. But they'll say, oh, well, look at this world getting more wicked and wicked. And I think, you know, you're so stupid. Because God said it would be that way. The evil of man would wax worse and worse. There's going to be a famine for the word of God. And yet, here these ones that just don't have any thought of him are thinking of it this way. But see, God chooses it that way. And why again does he choose it this way? And why was it there at Philippi this was going on? As I said earlier, let me show you my faithfulness. You're going to see my faithfulness in this. And just as he raised a Joseph in the heart of Egypt, this too is the lily amongst the thorns. So I don't want you to despair, and I don't want you to think that Denver is too wicked a place to grow. What do you think? Sometimes, I'll tell you, it gets overwhelming with some of the things they're saying around here. But you got to trust God. He's got you right where he wants you. And I am thankful to Jesus. He's got me at a place and has for many years where I could come and get the truth. I could come and receive truth and love. I could come and worship in spirit and truth and be encouraged in that. And that is vitally, vitally important. And I don't mean to meddle in your life, but I will make a statement. There's many people right now that are despairing because of financial situations. There's many people that are despairing because of job situations. And I know God is faithful for you. I do. And it's his promise. He is your provider. And this might be a season. It might be a time. I don't know what God's going to do, except the one thing I do know, he's going to do it mighty. He's going to do it right. And I'll tell you what, he's going to blow you away with it when he's finished. He's already made the way of escape. By God's grace, we need to trust him. But brothers and sisters, I'm starting to hear people get a little bit anxious. Well, I have to move here and I have to go there. I'm not trying to huddle anybody down here. I hope you know. I want you to go where the Lord would have you go. But the one thing I do believe, he'd want you around the truth. Put the truth first in your lives, brothers and sisters. Do everything for the truth. Really, by God's grace, he's given you that desire. Trust him for it. He'll make the way. He will make that way. Now, there's some that divinely, I do believe, that the Lord has taken different places. But for the most part, I've seen people moving for the wrong reason. I need this money. You need the truth. You need the truth. And you need to be around the truth by God's grace. And when you have the opportunity to come, come. Come boldly. Come freely. He'll take care of us. He really does. And I pray that God gives us a peace in that, to truly just rest in that he is, praise God, the Father is on the throne. You know, people get so obsessed. I've kind of mentioned it a little bit. We often try to create a hothouse environment, don't we? We all try to sometimes want a lotus land of ease. Well, I do want to profess tonight that without the shadow of the valley of death, there would never be the most precious fruit. It's just not going to happen until we truly are despairing of our own lives. And brothers and sisters, I have news for you, and you can already tell me because I'll hear big amen. It's not just going to happen once. Go read about Paul. How many times shipwrecked? How many times, you know, stoned and beaten and whipped and all of those things in the depth? Come on. And you know what? I'm sure he learned what the Lord wanted him to learn. I don't believe it was, well, we're going to do it multiple times because you didn't get it all either. Uh-uh. It was, I even have more love for you, son. I have more love. I want you to be a testimony. I want you to be a testimony of my grace. Are you really, really willing to suffer the loss of all things? Huh? Lord took his esteem. Huh? And I'm talking, not only, shoot, he gladly gave up that, being that Pharisee. But I'm telling you, when it comes to all in Asia have forsaken him. And I'm not talking about the esteem of being the one that was like the lead pastor. Uh-uh. That comfort of knowing that my brothers and sisters are on fire for the love of God. I'm going to tell you something. Oftentimes when the enemy is attacking me, one of the greatest encouragements that the Lord gives me is you. I hope you know that. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. Praise you, Jesus. But he brought him to that place and he said, you know, you think about it. He took his health. And Paul was down. He couldn't try to find anything good about himself. And that's when he really found the good. He said, oh, I'm glorying in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, then he's strong. Hallelujah, in my life. Praise be to God there. Brothers and sisters, may God encourage us that this is his work. And God help us to believe his word. That it's clearly stated over and over. That it's going to be through the trying of your faith. And of your faith. Do you know he's given you that precious faith? His grace gave you that. And it's wonderful and we rejoice in all the word that we have. God's going to try it. And you know, with how much word you have, he's going to try that. So the more word by God's grace that you love and apprehend, he's going to try that. Do you know where he's going with that? You're going to be tried. And praise be to God, you're going to be tried. And as that faith increases and that love in faith, that faith and love takes over, you're going to love. Really, you're going to rejoice. You're going to be happy. Come on, to suffer for his name, to suffer for his sake. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to say that it's always joyous for the moment. It's not. But there's a sustaining joy that goes all the way through it. Because he knows, Lord, I know. Praise God. Praise be to God. Let's rejoice in that. And see, when he tries our faith, brothers and sisters, the things that look and appear so completely opposite to man's understanding and man's eyes. I'm talking about when it's just completely opposite. When people will even say to you, there's no way out of there. I think not only has, I always remember that guy telling me that one time about something I was in. And he said, not only has the bullet left the chamber, but I think it's entered your skull. Now that's a bad visual, I know. But that's what he said to me. And I'm thankful to God. He said, nope, son. I've got you right where I need to have you to reveal how great I am. Huh? As the brother said, as far as I know, son, he's still on the throne. And bang! I'm telling you, it was done. It was done. And I'm so thankful that it was done. It was finished a long time ago, but it was done for me. And at that moment, I knew that all things work together for my good, because I love God. That's how personal it has to become. We understand that it's for our and us in Christ. But man, when you're in that, by God's grace, it's for my good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's go on to verse 2. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is such a statement of true love. I just truly hear the Lord speaking to me as I read this. Son, I'm just overwhelmed in love with you. My grace is to you. I understand this is being spoken through a dear brother, but this is the word of God. Grace be unto you. Praise God. Grace be unto you. You talk about true love. You talk about this grace that's been bestowed, and I'm his and he's mine. And I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. You're the apple of my eye. Do you believe it? Do you believe he cares for you like that? Do you believe he just delights in you like that? I believe you do. I believe that the grace of God has touched you. But it says, grace be unto you. And brothers and sisters, grace has to be received at all times. It's there at all times, but I'm talking about apprehended at all times. If truly we are going to live the life of rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, to live a life of the joy unspeakable and full of glory, it's grace. It's apprehending that unmerited favor and undeserved love all the time. And without it, brothers and sisters, without it, we will never grow even one bit. As 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is the truth, and that is his word. There is no other way. And I'm thankful that the provision is always there for this abundance of all-purpose grace. Because he has been made everything to us. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, amen, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. If you really go meditate on those, there's nothing more. There is nothing more. It's everything. And that's exactly it. He has been made to us everything. Everything for here and for over yonder in eternities to come. He is everything. He said the moment that we accepted Him as Savior, I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And why? Because His life came to live in me. Christ liveth in me. This is His. Praise God. I am His. He lives here. There isn't anything. He is all the fullness of God. That life. And praise be to God, we can yield to that life and be filled with all the fullness of God. That overflowing vessel, because again, of all His doing. See, we have these blessings. We lack nothing. But without grace, brothers and sisters, without seeing grace. See, it's already been given. You see that. It's not something I have to go get. I have it. But without seeing that grace and the continuing of receiving the grace, in just absolute thankfulness and joy to God that I have these gifts, that I have these blessings, they're going to lie dormant in my life. You see? It's like that bank account that Brother Hill used to talk about. You could have an infinite amount of money in the bank, but you could live as poor as the person that doesn't have a dime. If you don't go get it, if you don't use it, if you don't write a check off of it. You see that as a Christian? Here you are. How you living? God help us to live to who we are. We never could, in a sense. But praise the Lord, let us have a vision. Let us live that abundant, praise God. Spirit-filled, amen, but how about Spirit-full? There you go. There's something. Oh my, brothers and sisters. See, when we don't receive that grace for everything and every moment, all those spiritual blessings, they lie dormant. We never live fully the promises of God. We are like those ones that only see Him afar off. Those that walk around them instead of going in, instead of supping. I'm thankful I know that my Father's house is mine. I'm thankful that I know that that throne room, praise God, I've been invited freely and fully to come into. And I'm so thankful I'm apprehending more and more grace to realize His great desire for me someday to rule and to reign with Him jointly in the midst of the throne. Why do I believe it? As we said Sunday, because He desires it for me. Why do I want it? Because He desires it for me. Because of His great love, because of His faithfulness, His life, His everything to us. He's given everything to us. That's why I want it. Because of His great love. Now, let's go believe that it's mine. Mine. And let's go in and take it by grace. Because see, grace, brothers and sisters, as Paul says, grace be unto you. It's what sets us apart unto God. See, when we get apart from God in a sense, it's because of pride, right? And that's it. As he says, he sees the proud afar off. If you really look at that word proud and pride, that's self. Okay, He never leaves us nor forsakes us, I understand that. But my attention's not on Him. My embrace is not to Him. I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about what I could do. I'm thinking about how I'm going to achieve these things. And yet grace, brothers and sisters, realizes that I already have everything. Grace already realizes that He is already my all-sufficiency in all things, that I'm ready to superabound to everything He puts in my life. Grace, brothers and sisters, sets our hearts afire. It does. You want more fire for the Lord? Say, Lord, I want to just apprehend Your grace more. I want to fully embrace that you love me so. I want to fully embrace that it doesn't matter, I'm favored. That it didn't say I needed to do X, Y, and Z and get this right in my life to come boldly to the throne of grace. God, help me to never leave. I want to stay right there on my knees at your feet. And I want to worship you because I'm worshiping your Son. And in that, you're well pleased, Father. I sure love your Son, Jesus. But see, the energy and power of it all is grace. For your sake, for my sake, he became poor. Heard brother talking about that Sunday night and how it just, oh, it moved my heart. How he became sin for us who knew no sin. Grace, grace, grace. Hear that now. Grace, grace, grace. You kind of get a little bit of fire. And I'm not talking about just your heart. I'm talking about even a flaming one, just like the four living ones. A fire for him. Those are the fiery ones, brothers and sisters. See, in everything, it's grace. But maybe, of all the things that grace brings, maybe there's nothing sweeter to us than peace. Because we see here, grace be unto you and peace. See, without grace, brothers and sisters, there will never be peace, will there? Amen? Amen. Do we all know that all too well? Oh, yes, we do. I think, again, by God's grace, His mercy, His patience, how through the years He's endured and patiently waited for us to come truly to even tonight to think, Lord, it's you. Lord, thank you that, you know what, that beautiful lily, it doesn't toil to be beautiful. You just made it that way. You just made it that way. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Nothing kind of hurts me more than sometimes hearing the discouragement in different ones. That, you know, the enemy's got them over a barrel. They think. They think the enemy's got a chain on them. That somehow they're unworthy. Somehow I got to get this right before, you know, I can come to church or I could really come into fellowship. Every weight, let it go. Them's just the devil's lies. He wants you to come now. He wants you to get in there freely now. He wants you to come in there and say, I belong here because of you. Because of your work on the cross. Because of your love for me. The sin is as far as the east is from the west. And don't go trying to tell me how far that is. That's His word. That's His promise. I think most of us have had parents here, but I mean, when parents were really serious with this growing up, you know, they'd tell you something and you believed them. You said, yeah, that was true. This is your Father. And He gave His Son for this word. It's true. It's true. All right. But brothers and sisters, whenever we strive within me, whenever we're going to toil to produce it in our own strength, try to work something up or maybe even to my benefit, peace can never be attained. It's elusive. It won't happen. There'll be unrest. There'll be anxiousness. There'll be all of these different things. But the one thing that won't be there is peace. Now, Hebrews 4:10. It tells us, for he that has entered into his rest. See, I want to enter in because that's the only rest there is, this wonderful peace. He also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And if you really realize what he's talking about there, that's when the father sat back and said, wow, this is good. It's all in my son's hands. Not like he was surprised, but there was such a rest. And the father is showing us that. Praise God. That his son, he's got it. He finished it. It's done. And he's encouraging us to take that same wonderful peace and rest that is so freely offered in his son. You see, all Christians have peace with God. They do. They have the blood on their lives, whether they know it or not. And there's so many, unfortunately, that, you know, they think that they could lose their salvation at any turn. And my heart hurts for them, because you're always stunted at that point. You can have some joy. You can have some sweet things, but you don't have peace. You do not have peace. You don't think that the love of God is what the love of God is, which it means it's always, it's enduring, it's everlasting, and I can't be separated from it. Let me tell you something. You don't have peace. But once that hits you, praise God, now you can move into what he's encouraging here. It's not just peace with God, but it's the peace of God. And see, the peace of God exists, brothers and sisters, only where grace abides. It's only where grace is. They're inseparable. You cannot separate the two. I always remember my sweet brother telling me, everybody, you know, wants peace. Huh? But they don't want grace. No, don't want that grace. Saw that in Sarah, didn't we? All right. But I'll tell you, it is so wonderful. Brother Hill said it like this: when grace reigns, life loses its strain and stress. And in the absence of friction, all things are found to work together for good. I love that. That's in his little study in Philippians that the Lord had given him. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, here's how it reads there. I don't want to go there yet. I want to go to Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. So just there in Philippians 4, 6, 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, you couldn't be thankful in your prayer without receiving and understanding the grace of God, could you? How could you be thankful for something that may be hurtful or something that's really grieving your life unless you didn't know the grace of God, that you understand truly what he's doing here in this marvelous work? And it says, you do this by his grace with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now there's grace upon grace upon grace and grace for grace. Hallelujah. This is that marvelous love of God. It's complete confidence, brothers and sisters, in his grace. And then let's keep moving on through verse 2. See, you didn't realize we'd get so far tonight. And it's all and only from God our Father. Notice how it says there. It says, God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is not God the Father. It's our Father. He's your Father. This is how personal it gets here. And we're barely touching on this, but it's just some sweet stuff. But see, grace and peace is never going to really be received in your life until you receive and understand how much of that he is your Father. He's yours. And he's yours alone. Even though he's ours, he's yours. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. It's just amazing how he does that. It's just, well, that's just God. It's like that little boy said, you tell me where he ain't. I love that. But that's just the way it is. But see, every good and precious gift is from above. Again, he's already blessed us with everything. And all he's there encouraging our hearts and our lives is, now let me increase it in your life. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened to know the hope of my calling. It's right there for you. Do you want to know that? Well, sure, we're all sitting here going like this. I want to know it. I want to know it. Well, how do you know it? By grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not by toiling. It's not by striving. It's not by stress. It's not by trying to do this or to do that. It's by yielding. Isn't that amazing? It's so opposite of anything I turn on for just even a moment that has to do with Christianity. My heart hurts. And I'm thankful, again, for Christ being preached. But I am so grateful to God that there were those little odd ones that the Lord had set apart in life, whether it was the Priscilla or the Aquila, I'm sure the Sister Bodie, the Brother Copley, if you knew Brother Hill and Sister Hill and some of those that were there, they weren't normal folk. They were odd ones. They were different. They were a peculiar people. And believe it or not, we're a peculiar people. Thank God He's given us enough peculiarity, how's that word, to come and to gather with it. Wow, this might be okay. Oh, I'm just teasing. But that's how He does it. And thank the Lord that there were those that were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. It takes those lowly. It takes those despised. It takes those that realize, you know what, this world doesn't have it. This world's missing something. It's missing the one thing. It's missing Jesus. And I'm thankful that we know that so sweetly, that it is that simple. He is the answer to everything. But here He is again, encouraging us to just take from Him, to grow up into everything that He's already given us, just to become, again, I appreciated that so early on in my upbringing with the things of the Lord and all the different teachers the Lord had given me, and hearing it multiple times in multiple ways. But, you know, it's just like a baby. And I'm looking at all these different little babies coming in to this meeting. It's so wonderful. They're all little human beings. They don't have to grow up and try to be a human being. They're already a human being. But now they get to grow up and mature as that human. Huh? Amen. And that's the maturity that He's talking about here. You've got it all. I've given you all the precious, let's call it the DNA that you're going to need. It's there. Don't need to add a thing. It's perfect. Now let it grow. Feed it. Water it. Wow, He kind of gave us a body that does the same. But that's how He does it. And that's how simple it is. Grow up into it. Nurture that life. Again, how God so loves us. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm His son. I'm His son. You're His son. You just go in there freely. And He's just waiting, brothers and sisters, to bestow more and more upon us. In His hands are riches. They're always open. They're not shut. They're open. Come and take. Take of Me. Ask. Seek. Knock. You'll have it. By God's grace, it's all there for you. Let's fellowship in it. But see, it's that Holy Spirit that's going to take the things of Christ and make them yours. Show them unto you what you already really have. The riches in Christ. That life that has everything there. The Holy Spirit so ready to do this. To take and give and to take and give. So much so that if we'll be still and just sit there and take and let Him give, we'll be filled before we know it with all the fullness of God. You talk about a Godhead. You talk about an infilling. You talk about a life that lives the powerful love of God. It's right there. And it's overwhelming because He always does it exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. You think of how He brings things to you. As you'll trust Him, and I'm talking about overall His Word, think of how He's bringing His Word to you. Think about what He's opening up in your life. And I pray, I don't care how many years you've sat here, but I pray that it's even more of a panting in your life than there's ever been. Lord, I don't know how You're doing it, but You're causing me to even love You more. You're causing me to want to just grow in Your love more and grow in that grace more, because you know what? There's more there. There's more there, and there's more there for me to see and to experience, because You have me here. You said You're the author and finisher of my faith. You are. And I'm confident that Your Word tells me that You are on that wonderful work. I'm Your, you know, the workmanship that He's doing. He never ceases. It's always. It's at all times. People ask me about dreams. Do they mean things? Yeah, they do mean things. I'm not talking about that it means things that are going to happen in your life or I'm going to be this dream teller. I'm just talking about it could be the trying of your faith. You know, you could get all bent out on a dream. Trust Him. You're in an illness. Trust Him. I have a sweet sister here and some different ones that have dealt with people that are getting Alzheimer's or this Lou Gehrig's disease. You know, the Lord knows what He's doing. And I am confident that He's still working on that life, no matter what state it's in. Do you believe that? I do. I don't believe that there's any timeouts. I believe He's working. Trust Him. Get a peace that passes all understanding and say, Lord, You do that which is right. I don't care what a doctor tells me. I don't. By God's grace. I mean, not to be disrespectful, they can know a lot of things, but I'm talking about what I maybe more importantly like science. Because pretty much everything science has told us through the years really isn't, unless it's true science, and then it all points back to God. You might as well know that. It's the truth. If they'll look through truly biblical, which they don't even know sometimes they are, but when they do get it right, it's because it's the Word of God. Because He did it. Amen. He is the Creator. I don't want to get off on that, but you understand where that is. He's the God, and He's the God of love. So, and we'll close it up here tonight. We're His vessels of mercy. And we didn't do a thing to deserve it, brothers and sisters. We didn't know it. That's what mercy is. That's exactly what mercy is. Matter of fact, you deserve something far opposite of what that really what you deserve. The Lord wants us to come in to join heirship with Jesus Christ. You talk about something so completely opposite, I can't even imagine. But He pours out His grace so rich and thick to us, unmerited favor and undeserved love, that if we will yield in true sincerity, can you imagine that out comes vessels that in spirit and in truth can actually add to the usefulness of the husband? Amen. Amen. And it's happening and it's going on. We are truly just the clay and He is the potter. He's the master. And we're an instrument that if we'll be still, praise God, He will play out His masterpiece upon us. And He will. But are you willing to let Him play? And He's playing all the time. You might not think He is, but He is. Oh, I'm in a desert. Oh, that's a neat song He's playing there. It's so beautiful. I thought He left me. No, He didn't. He's playing that. He's playing that. And what He wants to play, by God, let it be His choosing, because it's going to be. But to be a vessel, brothers and sisters, of honor, and truly to the praise of His glory. And that's what I wanted to close out with, at least in this little section. And I can see that time's got us. But let's go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's read verses 20 and 21 together. And this is this vessel of grace that truly is set apart to God, that's shut up to Jesus Christ. And here's what the treasure is in it for Him and for us. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, that means just for Him, for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is a vessel truly that is shut up to Him, that truly knows that I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. And that, brothers and sisters, is that's the grace of God. Because there's no other way we could be in that position. There's no other way that we could have ever attained to that favor, to that place, to that status, the grace of God. Let's stand and be dismissed.